and welcome to episode 52 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Sandy, Robin, and Andy. Way back in our third episode, when we were mere babes in arms, we talked about the Norwegian getaway. I had been fortunate enough to be on board for one of her pre-inaugural sailings when she was fresh off the shipyard, and I shared that experience then. Now she's been sailing for well over a year, and we have booked her own clients on her several times. We were all on board recently for a conference, and we wanted to share the experiences we had to update that episode and share new information as well. So let's get started. So I really wanted to start talking about the itinerary she does, because that's something we did not talk about in episode three. When I was on her, it was just a cruise to nowhere. So we didn't actually get to go anywhere and stop. So I want to talk a little bit. She does the same itinerary every week. It has altered slightly since she first set herself to the ocean, but now it's pretty consistent. So the first, you have 2 days at sea. You board on Saturday, and then you have Sunday and Monday at sea. And on Tuesday, you land in St. Thomas. So let's talk a little bit about St. Thomas. Sandy, you want to talk about what you did there?
Oh, I had such a good time. So I did an excursion for intro to scuba diving, because when I was in college, I took a scuba diving class, and I never got my certification, and I never did my deep water dives. And it's always something I wanted to go do. So they do this class. It's one of our alternative shore excursion companies that we can set you up with. So basically I had to, disembark, go find the taxi stands, which is really easy in St. Thomas. And they pretty much, load up these vans with, you might be in an open air one, or you might be in a 15 passenger one, and they load a bunch of people on, and they just drop people at their stops, and it's about $10 a person. So I went to Cokie Beach, and it's a good beach to visit anyway if you're in St. Thomas.
How do you spell Cokie?
C-O-K-I. And there's the snorkel equipment. You can rent beach chairs. There's food. There's like a little hut that sells beers for $3 a piece. There's showers, bathrooms. It's a good place to go if you want to just be at the beach and have, you can rent the chairs and stuff. So I went there, and I was lucky enough to be the only person, doing the excursion at the time. So I had the instructor all to myself, and he gave me about like a 20-minute class about why it's important to, not hold your breath, and equalize your ears and your pressure when you're going down and stuff. So, so it was good. And we ended up swimming for about 40 minutes. And, by the time I got done, it was about 10:30, and I was ready to go back to the ship. And then, so I went back to the ship and I picked up Lindsay.
and then we went
back out again. I had a full day in St. Thomas. Then we went out to a tiki bar and had a couple drinks, found some Wi-Fi. Then I went back and did the ropes course when it wasn't crowded. There were only a few kids on it. So,
Lindsay and Robin, you took an alternative choice in St. Thomas, correct? Lindsay, what'd you do?
I had decided that St. Thomas was going to be my spa day. So I went and checked out the spa, and, had a 100-minute massage and seaweed wrap, and it was amazing. They put you on this bed. It looks like a regular bed, and kind of brush all of your skin, and then put this fantastic seaweed wrap all over you and wrap you in this foil. And then she hits a button, and the bed lowers down, and I was floating in water. It was the coolest thing ever. It was so cool. But it was fantastic. I spent about 3 hours in the spa, and then went out adventuring a little bit in St. Thomas with Sandy, and went to a tiki bar I'd read about, where we got to sit in swings and drink and eat chicken wings. And
that was a nice long day in St. Thomas. I mean, we were there pretty much all day.
Yeah,
we left around 6. Is that right? I don't have my notes written down.
So. Yeah, I think you're right. And I feel like we docked at like 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Pretty early.
Yeah, it was pretty early. I went straight to the excursion from the dock.
So, Robin, I don't want to leave you out. What did you do?
I actually spent the day on the ship, and we explored the ship and went deck to deck and checked a bunch of stuff out, and It was cool because we got to take pictures of a bunch of places that didn't have anybody in them, but they were open, like the Illusionarium where we had gone for dinner later on. We went there and we were able to take all these pictures. And then we went into the Grammy Club, and there was a band in there, and they were rehearsing, and they let us come in and take pictures. And we talked to them for a few minutes. But it was really cool because I just got to explore the ship, and I don't normally do that. I normally go and do all, and go, 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 go. And it was nice to sort of relax and just check everything out and see what the ship had to offer.
It's great. And, you know, I don't always recommend staying on board. If you've never been to a place, it's always good to go explore that place. But if it's someplace you've been several times, staying on board can be such a great option. Or if it's truly someplace you have absolutely no interest in seeing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hopefully you're not booking a cruise to places you really don't want to see.
So. We were there in March, which is why I decided mm-hmm. to do it, because we were on another cruise and stopped at St. Thomas in March. So that's why I figured that.
Mm-hmm. So, Andy, are you back? No. Okay. So Andy and I actually went to Zipline in St. Thomas, and there's actually only one place to Zipline in St. Thomas that we know of, and it's called Tree Lemon, and it was really, really fun. I have to say, I'm new to ziplining, so perhaps people who are not new to ziplining would not think it was as impressive as I did, but it was several zips, and I honestly didn't count. I want to say it was six or seven, and the guides, if you will, were fantastic, very personable. And in fact, as we were about to take our first zip, there were, I don't know, about 8 or 10 of us in that first group, in the group together. And one of the gentlemen was really afraid of heights. He had come with his family and he was going to do this. He's going to conquer it. But he got up there, he got hooked up, and he panicked. And he didn't panic like in a serious way, but he clearly was having trouble with the idea of actually zipping across this thing. And his wife was already on the other side and was very encouraging. But I watched the guide, because that's what always is important to me. You know, some people don't want to just be pushed off of high place, you know? And I think in a lot of cases, you feel like that's what they're going to do. They're going to get you up there and they're just going to sort of, you know, trick you and shove you. But this guy was so patient. He was probably half my age. And just talking this guy down, this was a big dude, not somebody you would expect to be, you know, really scared. And he did. He eventually zipped, and there were about three of us still on his platform waiting to go. And we, you know, we all joined in and encouraged him, but nobody put too much pressure on him and let him take it at his own pace. And his wife was on the other side encouraging him, and he finally did it. And every zip after that, it was still difficult for him every time, but he did every one of them much easier than that first one.
Once you get going, you don't have a choice, right? Yeah. You know?
Well, I think once you get the sensation of what it's like to zip, then you know, because it does feel more secure than you expect it to. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm also afraid of heights, but I'd done it once before. So I remember that first zip was really terrifying for me. But once you realize what it sort of feels like and that you're sort of sitting there, it's a lot easier. And this was one that was, sometimes the zips will really spin, but these were very much under control. And
so did you have your hands on the wire?
No, okay. No. We had trolleys that had handlebars.
Okay.
And in fact, they said do not under any circumstances touch the cable. If you touch the cable, you are reprimanded. So nobody had gloves on except for the guides.
Yeah, you better not touch the cable.
Yes, exactly. And there was no self-braking system either. The one I did in Mexico had a self-braking system, which I was not comfortable with, especially for my first zip.
When you had said that, that's really interesting to me, because that's one of the things that scared me, that's always kept me away from ziplining, was the fear of like having to touch the wire and the things that could happen if your arm gets caught.
Yes.
Well, your arm won't get caught if you make sure you put it behind you. That's the thing. You don't ever put it in front of you.
Right. But that's, of course, the thing, too, is that's a lot to think about, especially for a first-time zip. So this was, if you've never ziplined before, I highly recommend it. And it's mostly in the trees. But then each platform that you get to, you have this beautiful view of Megan's Bay. It's which is one of the most popular beaches on St. Thomas. It was gorgeous, a gorgeous day, gorgeous experience way up at the top of this mountain. Highly recommend it. And for thrill seeking, I mean, you know, I think once you get used to a zip line, as far as thrills go, it was fun, mm-hmm. but you know, there's roller coasters that have scared me far more than that.
So did you guys have to, when you got to your platforms, did you have to climb a lot of stuff? Was it strenuous?
No, it was, I mean, I'm not in the best physical shape and there was no problem for me. I didn't feel winded in any way or, you know, it was fine. There was a much older gentleman on the trip who had never ziplined before either. Mm-hmm. And I say much older, I'm pretty old. So, but I want to say he was in his late 50s.
Yeah, get more specific.
Yeah, maybe early 60s. So somebody that you might not think would go ziplining. Yeah, well, the thing is, he was by himself, too. So, and his first time ziplining. Yeah, so he had a great time. Quite a wide variety of people, and most of them, you know, right around my age. So great experience. And it didn't take terribly long. It was only about an hour. Once you get, you know, getting up there and getting back, we had to take a taxi as well. But again, the taxi system is really easy. And then we had plenty of time to sit at the local bars down near the pier and have a beer.
Yeah, get free Wi-Fi. I mean, you love that, right?
Yeah, that was awesome. So Sandy, I want to ask you a question real quick before we go on about your scuba diving. Mm-hmm. You had said something before that was really interesting about, you were the only one in your class that day.
Yeah.
So now would you assume that this slow period might be a good time to do some of those?
I mean, there were other people that were showing up, but there were other instructors there too. There were three guys that were working the thing. And so, I don't know. I mean, I'd hate to, unless you specifically booked a solo excursion, I would never want to guarantee it. But, I think, you know, if you're in a low, I mean, we're off season, so mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, more about that off-season thing later.
we were expecting another person to show up with me, but not... It was because they thought I was bringing someone, but then when they saw my voucher, they saw it was just one person. So I think that they assume that people aren't coming alone. I don't know. But, it was good.
I know that's one of the key things about why we stayed on board, because during the ports is a great time to check out the ship. Like Robin mm-hmm. said, you get the unfettered access to areas that might normally be crowded with people. And that's kind of,
if you really don't want to wait in line for things like, the getaway has slot water slides and also a ropes course. That can be a great time to do it. I mean, one could argue that the ropes course is more fun and adventurous when you're at sea, but, you know, because you're moving. But
I don't need it to be moving. I don't know. I just had to do it to say I did it, but it didn't need to be windy and stuff.
Just imagine it when it was like 30 degrees outside, which is So moving on, the next day, the stop is actually a very unusual cruise stop. It's Tortola. So I'm going to take a break here and say, Andy, are you back yet? Okay, great. Yay. So Andy, would you like to talk a little bit about our adventure in Tortola? Because you were really the mastermind of this one. Give you full credit for it.
Tortola's an interesting stop on the cruise ship tours now. It's not particularly highly visited, but it's a beautiful island in the British Virgin Islands, which, you know, there's still a lot of construction going on at the cruise port terminal. I don't think the locals are particularly geared up incredibly for tourism right at the moment, but it's getting there. And knowing this going in, I thought it would be interesting and fun, and dare I say it, a little bit crazy, to actually rent a Jeep Wrangler and just find some interesting places to go visit. And I think mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. We hit two beaches. One was the really, really popular beach Cane Bay Beach.
Yeah.
And the other one, the first one we went to was Brewers Bay, where I think there were maybe about another 15, 20 people on the beach with us.
Yes, with interesting signs in the bathroom. Don't flush for pleasure.
I really was more taken, still coming to terms with that downward slope of the road.
Yes. Yeah.
That caused the brakes to smoke.
Adventure.
About 1 in 7. It was absolutely crazy. And that's part of the appeal of these Caribbean islands, is they all have, I mean, Tortola's not a small island. It's, maybe 17 miles from tip to tip. It's pretty narrow, but it's mountainous in the middle.
Yeah.
And to go up, if you want to get from one side of the map, like from the north side of the map to the south side or vice versa, you have to go over the top, and they call it the Ridge Road for a reason. Mm-hmm. And what do we almost encounter on that road, Sandy?
Cows!
We didn't almost, they were there. We did. It wasn't almost, yes.
Absolutely. Chickens, cows, goats.
Dogs, yeah.
All sorts of wildlife.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, you know, I took some video while we were driving, and it doesn't do it justice because you really can't tell in the video just how steep those, that, you know, like we'd come around this steep curve and then it'd be like this steep hill and there'd be a car coming towards us and they're all on the wrong side of the road. And, you know, it's just nuts. I was so glad I wasn't driving. Oh my God.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm so glad that Andy was driving because I think that's definitely the best way to see.
Remember, you're driving on the left hand side of the road as well because it is part of Britain.
The wrong side. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The left side.
Well, it's not right.
But also, but also in a U.S. configured car, which is even more unusual.
We found some interesting places, and we've done a little bit of research before we hit the road. But we found a 400-year-old rum distillery where we had to stop and just check that out for a little bit.
The oldest continually operating rum distillery in the Caribbean.
They pretty much make the rum in a bathtub.
Yeah, pretty much.
So pretty much,
pretty much, yeah.
And there's cats all around, kittens. It was really cool. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. So, and that was actually not too difficult to do, right, Andy? I mean, you just pretty much, you checked with some rental places, found a car.
I called and emailed some local rental car owners and said, do you have Jeep Wranglers and how much are they? And basically, a lot of them didn't have them. Said, you want to go around our island in a Jeep Wrangler? I said, yeah. And he said, you must be British. And I said, yeah. And he goes, okay, that explains it. We only have, like, sort of really nice luxury SUVs. And, they might have been better for some of the roads, but it was much more fun with the sides of the vehicle off. And,
yeah, it was.
Even when the road construction vehicle came down spraying, you know, construction.
Oh, yeah.
Resurfacing it and nearly washing everybody.
Adventure.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, there were very few that actually had Jeep Wranglers for rent, but I thought that it was very affordable. Can I say how much it was?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was $80 for the day. We picked the vehicle up about 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. We dropped it off back just before 2 that mm-hmm. afternoon.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't even make us take it back to the rental place. They let us leave it at the port.
With the keys in it.
Yeah.
And the people.
That's the guy who rented his vehicle said, well, everybody here knows everybody else.
Well, they did.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Well, because when he wasn't there when we first got there, the taxi driver's like, oh, Aaron, yeah. Oh, let me call Aaron right now. I'm like, oh. We didn't give you his last name. Yeah. Right? You know Aaron. Yeah. Yeah. It was cool.
I think that's what I like the most about Tortola, besides the beautiful beaches, was that it was not quite as commercialized yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And that it had more of the authentic local flavor to it. I really love that when you travel and you can actually really experience the real culture and not just the put on for tourists.
Right. Yeah, and you know, that's something, Tortola is famous for pirates. And so I was just expecting like pirate this and pirate that. I didn't see a single pirate anything. Yeah. And maybe that will develop over time. But you know, Tortola that's what I know it for, was pirates. Yeah. And I didn't see a single, there was no pirate greeting us at the bottom of the cruise ship.
And they didn't even have a pirate on their bottles of rum. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They had some other things, though.
Oh, yeah. What was that rum you bought, Lindsay? What
no, we're not. This is a family show. We're not concerned about it. So,
I'll make it home safe. I know you guys were worried about that.
Very worried, yes. So, Robin, what did you do in Tortola?
My husband was with us, and originally we were going to go swim with the dolphins, which we've never been able to do. And I got an email the day before that it was canceled because of all the seaweed. And those of you who are traveling to the Caribbean, they are having a seaweed problem in certain places, and I'm guessing because of the storm coming that it was a lot more was churning up. So the side of the island where they do the dolphin swim had too much seaweed, and it was they weren't doing it, so they canceled it for that week. So we went to the shore excursions desk at the on the cruise, and we decided to do a snorkeling tour. So they brought us, they met us right off the boat, and they brought us on a boat to Norman Island. So we were right off the coast of Norman Island, which is south of Tortola. And they, you know, they stopped, and everybody got their snorkeling gear on, and there were two caves that you could snorkel in. I didn't realize this, but my husband was telling me right after I jumped in, the guy was taking some cookies and cookie crumbs so the fish would come.
Yeah.
And he said there was a giant barracuda right next to me. And he wasn't going to tell me because he didn't want me.
And he wasn't worried for you either, right?
Which was
Let's just see what happens.
Because I wouldn't have gotten back in the water.
Yeah.
But we snorkeled for probably about half hour, 40 minutes. And we saw some really cool fish. He went snorkeling inside the cave. They had two caves that you could snorkel in.
That's cool.
Then we got back on the boat, and they gave everybody punch. So the adults got rum punch, and the kids got regular punch. Mm-hmm. And then they brought us to a beach, which was actually Norman Island also. It was just another part of Norman Island. And they docked, and you could get out, and you could go snorkeling, you could go swimming. And we stayed there for probably another 30, 40 minutes. And then we went back to the ship because they knew that the ship was leaving late. The ship decided to leave later than normal. The guy was going back really slowly. He was sailing back because it was a catamaran. He was sailing back, and this lady and I were like, okay, we're ready to go back. And the guy's like, come on, just relax. It's the Caribbean.
We're island time.
Yeah,
island time. So just, you were talking about the islands right around Tortola. If you don't know where Tortola is, you can see it from St. Thomas. We actually, at the top of the mountain, as we were ziplining, they were like, and over there is Tortola. We're like, oh, hey, there'll be there tomorrow. So yeah, they're very close together. You can see them from each other.
Yeah, and
when you mentioned the seaweed issues, while we were driving around Tortola, we smelled seaweed issues. It was quite pungent, and we really got an idea firsthand of some of the issues that have been plaguing the Caribbean this summer.
Yeah,
it's probably a good thing you went in and around all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yep.
So, I hate to push forward, but we're already at 20 minutes, so I want to make sure that we talk about more. The next stop on the ship, normally there would be a day at sea, and then you would stop in Nassau for an afternoon. However, because we were traveling off season in September, we got to experience what happens when a hurricane hits the yes, exactly. And
we had a new friend, didn't
we? We did.
Joaquin
is our new friend. And we should say, you know, Andy is actually recording this under duress because he's in Columbia, South Carolina, and it, you know, we're very fortunate that Andy is with us because he could have no power, and so we're very glad you're with us tonight. But on the way back, Joaquin was just ahead of us, and so the ship rerouted and we had an extra day at sea. And we talk about that, but I think it's really important that you know that if you do book a cruise in an off season or during hurricane season, is really what we want to say here. One of the great things about booking a cruise during that time is they can steer around the storm. And we actually experienced that. And Friday morning was pretty rainy. But
Thursday night was rocky.
Thursday night was a little rocky.
Very choppy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Friday morning was rainy, but then by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and that can't be said for a lot of the Bahamas area. So the fact that we were able to change course, and you know, if you had booked a trip in the Bahamas for that week,
yeah,
you know, and
flights were canceled,
yeah, we had clients who did. Yeah, so that is, if you want to book off season, a cruise can be a great alternative. You just have to be ready for some rerouting.
And I will tell you, I think that the ship did a great job. The crew, they did a great job of making you feel safe all the time. Mm-hmm. You think about the game face, there was never any panic on that ship. And they, you know, kept you happy. Mm-hmm. You know, even though they kind of blocked off the decks and you couldn't go outside, there was such a good atmosphere inside. And I only saw one person who was sick, which I think is pretty amazing. Unless they were all holed up in their rooms. But by that time, you know, it was like late in the week and y'all had your sea legs by then. And so, you know, you weren't, I mean, it may have affected some people, but I think they did a really good job of not, I mean, the boat wasn't rocking as much as you would think it would be, and it wasn't bad. I mean, I had a good time. It was fine.
And the night that we did get a little rocking was the night of the glow party. And I don't know, is it normal that all the kids are brought in for that? Because the kids were just having a great time in the center there for the glow party. And I think that I agree, Sandy. I was really impressed. And I think it was a great experience for us to have as travel agents to get to see how things are handled.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And while we're shouting out to the crew for handling that, we should talk about the fact that we also saw a medical evacuation happen. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, during the hurricane. So in that rerouting, you know, once the skies got sunny, the U.S. Coast Guard met us. So shout out also to the U.S. Coast Guard, because that was quite a rescue.
We were still about 250 miles from Florida. We were off the coast of Cuba. Well, maybe, I don't know. I thought it was...
That was my impression as well. Yeah, yeah, we didn't have our compasses and our GPS.
I thought, well, you know, they have that channel on the TV, and I thought it said we were like 200 miles or two. Yeah. That's crazy.
So, but that, you know, and that happens. I've actually had several times that I've been on cruises, we've had a medical evacuation by helicopter, and it's not an easy thing to do. People say, well, why don't you just, you know, whisk this person off by a helicopter? Or even like when the Carnival Triumph had trouble at sea, people were like, why didn't they just rescue them all by helicopter? That's not that easy to do.
And
you're dropping baskets and dropping.
Yeah, they don't land.
highly trained, you know, military personnel. So, but you know, when it comes time to save a life, they were right on it. So we have a few more minutes. Let's talk a little bit about the ship. And I'd like to just start with food. What did you guys think about the food? Let's talk a little bit about things that we ate.
So I was happier in the specialty dining restaurants, but you know, I'm pretty easy to please, and I thought everything was pretty good, but they have that whole waterfront section, and you can't sit out there and eat if you're not eating in the specialty dining. Mm-hmm. So that's an experience you'd have to do an approach for. And there was one place, the noodles place, I really wanted to try that, but it was in the casino, where it's one of the only places you can smoke on the ship. And I just couldn't go through there. And, you know, I couldn't imagine eating in there.
I mean, that's actually located in the non-smoking section of the casino, which is the first time I've seen a non-smoking section of the casino.
Yeah.
But you could still but get
it doesn't
that
matter.
That smoke,
I didn't even realize it was non-smoking.
Because the smoke just really traveled. I thought the food in the main dining room was actually, for the most part, pretty good. They had an interesting and varied selection. And the presentation was nice. Mm-hmm. A couple of occasions where we hit something that didn't meet the expectations. But overall, I think the food was pretty good. Although I thought the specialty dining was very good, particularly the French restaurant would be good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And to talk about that upcharge, you know, there's 23 restaurants on the Norwegian Getaway, and some of them are complimentary. Many of them are specialty. You can actually just pay about it's $119 for a week-long cruise for a specialty dining package that allows you to eat in any specialty restaurant with the exception of Ocean Blue and the Illusionarium that includes it. So if you wanted to eat specialty dining every night, that can actually be a good deal. And adding $120 per person to your cruise fare isn't huge when you start comparing it to other cruise lines. Where, you know, so if food is very important to you and you really want freedom to eat pretty much anywhere, and if you have the specialty dining package, you get a discount at the Illusionarium and at Ocean Blue. I believe it's 20%.
They also, I'm sorry, Lindsay, go ahead.
One important thing to mention, though, that I've never encountered before was in the specialty dining after the upcharge, some of the dishes, the more attractive dishes, had an additional upcharge as well. So don't get the sticker shock. If some of the things you want, lobster, whatever they were, have an additional, what were they, 20, 30, I think one was 30, an additional on top of that.
I didn't see something that big.
Somewhere as low as 10.
Yeah, I saw like a $7.95 upcharge. But yeah, you could be right.
The one I was looking at was...
the one she wanted.
I'm probably in the minority here. I was a little disappointed with the main dining fair, and I have to be honest and say that there were some things that were really well done, but there were a lot of things that could have been done better, and it kind of didn't feel to me like what I had expectations for. But I think maybe that's because they are weighing so heavily on the specialty dining. So there's my little pitch for specialty dining. If you're a foodie, if you're someone who is picky or who likes or expects things to be a certain way, the specialty dining is really the way for you to go.
And a lot of times that's part of the promo. Like, that's one of the options. They've had this promo all year where you can choose between, like, you know, three or four things. And specialty dining has been one of those things that you could choose.
So really quickly, I'm going to put everybody on the spot, and I'll start so that you have time to think. As far as the other experiences you had on board, what were some of your pick your favorite thing. And I'll start. And that was actually the Sunset Bar, which just sounds really lame, but I really enjoyed it. It's a whiskey bar. And it was just a great central place to hang out and wait for things to happen. I felt very comfortable there. There was usually some place to sit. And I felt, it was a nice central meeting place. So as lame as that is, as a favorite place, it became sort of a hangout for me. Along with a little spot on the waterfront that I sort of claimed as my own as well. So, Sandy, it looks like you had something right off the bat.
Well, one of the coolest things I thought was the ice bar. And, you know, granted, I can only be in there about 15 minutes because it was so cold. But I loved it. It was such a novel thing. I know they have ice bars in other places, but I'd never been to one. And that was really cool. You went in and it was, you know, they decorated it like Miami, which is really funny because Miami is not cold at all. But it was so cool. It was really, you know, you got two drinks, you had a $20 cover charge, and then you get two drinks when you're in there. And I mean, by the time you suck those drinks back, you're ready to go, especially if you're wearing flip flops.
Recommend good shoes.
Yeah, yeah. And there's like an ice throne you can sit on, or I guess it's really a chair, but you know, I mean, that to me was.
And what about with the glasses?
Yeah, the glasses were made of ice, and they give you these little gloves to hold on to, and the bartender's wearing this big fuzzy hat, and, you know, that was a really cool experience. I liked that.
It was
very novel. Yeah.
Andy, what was your favorite? Did you have a...
I find it hard to sort of pick a favorite. There was a lot of things I liked about it. There was also some things I wasn't overly keen on. The show in the Illusionarium was fantastic. The different magicians and sort of tying in a little bit of comedy here and there, but the some of the things they were doing, the illusions and the guy who was the mentalist, just was amazing, just blew me away. I'm just fascinated by shows like that. That was probably the high point for me, the show and the illusion.
Robin.
He just took mine.
Oh, no. You got to come up with something else. We'll come back to you. Lindsay, do you have one?
Well, I did enjoy my time in the spa, but I have to say, as an everyday thing, the one thing I wish I had had more time to do, I loved the area in Spice H2O, the outdoor area with the waterfall and the seating area where you could just sit and kind of enjoy the water and look out. That was probably that. If I had had a Zen place on the ship, that would have been it.
And that is an adult area only of the ship. So, yeah. Robin, did you come up with one?
Well, I don't know why they let me.
The day that we had, that Russ and I were just exploring the ship. After we finished exploring the ship, I had some work to do, so I was sitting at the Flamingo Grill. And I want to tell you, I saw so many people that I knew. And, I mean, I wasn't expecting this. Sandy walked by and talked with Lily from Disney, walked by. And so it was a nice place to just hang out and see a bunch of people. And it was, put it this way, if I have to work on a ship, it was the perfect place to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice because it was just a central area where people were walking by all the time. So I wasn't, you know, if I decided I wanted to stop working for a few minutes, I just sort of people watched.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I liked that area too. I thought the food was very good for complimentary dining there, but they also had a bar but it was in a nice location, elevated on the ship. And they also had a couple of TVs around the bar area. I sat and watched some Champions League soccer one afternoon when we got back from, I think the day we got back from Tortola, and just sat there and just had a drink and just watched that at the bar. And it's a great, I agree with you, Robin, it's a great place just to sit and just watch the world go by or watch a sporting event or just talk.
You know, the one thing, I loved the Illusion area. So my one thing about it that I didn't like was that they should have had one less seat per table.
Yeah.
Because you were eating, trying to eat, with your arms were pinned to your side.
Was I too close to you, Robin?
Oh,
Go ahead, real quick, because we're running out of time.
I did something else that I really loved. I got to do a plug for their little lunch show. It's a musical with wine. And for $25, I got 6 glasses of wine and a pretty decent meal in the Illusionarium. It was rethemed over to match the wine theme. And the songs were kitschy, and I wish I could remember the words to them because they were kind of stuck with you a little bit. But that was fun, too.
And it was called Wine the Musical?
Wine the Musical.
Yeah.
All right.
I had an experience on board that I also enjoyed that I've yet to have, and this is something when you went on back in the dead of winter, Elizabeth, you didn't get to do. The one water slide that's just a sheer drop, or at least it feels like a sheer drop, and basically you stand up there, it encloses you around you, there's a countdown, 3, 2, 1, and then the bottom falls out, and you just drop down the slide. It was unlike any water slide I've ever been on. It was an incredible adrenaline rush, and I highly recommend it. There are 2 up there. One is for lighter people. I said I want to go on the other one. They said no, and I said I want to go on the other one. And I said this would be too heavy. And I said and now we're just getting personal. All right, so if you're over 135 pounds, and I'm just a little over 100.
Slightly, yeah.
So that's not an insulting weight to be
at. No. And for the record, you know, he says it's a straight drop, but I went and walked by that slide. It's not just a straight drop. It goes back up again.
Yeah. Those are what I like to call wedgie machines.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah, I was talking like Alvin from Alvin. But it was a lot of fun. I did that 2 or 3 times in a row.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away, or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Lindsay, Sandy, Robin, Andy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!